Amen. That was great. Thank you, Craig and Patty. Appreciate that. Be sure and pray for the Burroughs family, if you would. Rodney Burroughs' dad went to be with the Lord just recently. I know many have been praying for him. So be sure and pray for them during this time. I know they'd appreciate that. All right. Well, we're in Luke 2 and also in Acts chapter 1. I'm sure you already, several, already see the tie-in there. I mentioned last week, verse 19, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And so we will continue with last week's message. We're on the third point. You can only imagine how long the service would have gone had I preached all three points last week. Wow, that's hard to imagine, isn't it? Well, you really can't imagine because you can't imagine how long today's going to be. I kind of like Tim. He's always willing to get you offering envelopes. Wasn't that good? Now, folks, if you need offering envelopes, all you have to do is call. All you have to do is let me know. Drop a note in the plate. Just come and see me. Just look like you need offering envelopes. I'll get you offering envelopes. And he's just willing, and that's good. I like that. I like a willing servant. But anyway, I continue the message, part two of What Will You Do with Christmas? Father, I pray that you'll bless the preaching, that you'll speak to our hearts, you'll give us what we need from your word. And I thank you, Lord, that we will remember. We should remember what you did for us tomorrow. We should remember it today. We shouldn't forget the sacrifice that was made on Calvary. And certainly we'll think of it day after day after day in heaven. Thank you so much for loving us and giving us a gift of eternal life. And now I pray that you'll speak to our hearts and again teach us so that we can be different. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What will you do with Christmas, part two? Last week we talked about X-ing Christ out of Christmas. Many do that. That's kind of a common thing. We're seeing it more and more, almost to the point of it being a battle in governments and schools and all of that, where Christ is eliminated totally. It's just happy holidays and season's greetings and no mention of the word Christmas. But really, what are you going to do with Christmas? That was the challenge last week. And the true story of Christmas is being eliminated. But what are you doing with the true story of Christmas? Again, we don't know if Jesus was born on December 25th. Probably not. But it doesn't matter. He was born. He did come. He did live a perfect life. He did die on the cross to pay for our sins. He did raise again so that we could have eternal life. And again, if the world wants to eliminate that true story, the question this morning is the question last week. What are you going to do with Christmas? And again, you know, they can do whatever they want, but you don't have to do that. And you don't, you know, the sad thing is we get upset at the rest of the world for what they are eliminating as far as Christmas. But the sad thing is, already it's a couple days after Christmas and many have forgotten all about it. Oh, you know, we think about it because we're in church, but what will you do tomorrow? What are you going to do with the Christmas story? What are you going to do? You were so excited. Joy to the world. Singing the songs. So excited about the star and the wise men and all those things. And so excited. But again, it got our attention. But what are we going to do because of it? And that's the idea. And we started on that last week. Number one, we looked at the people wondered. Again, the days then were very much like the days today. And the first thing we looked at last week, number one, is the people wondered. And verse 18, the Bible says, all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And certainly the people were wondering about, hey, this star in the east. And they wondered about the scriptures that were given. And how the prophecy, is this really the prophecy? And certainly the people's attention, no question about it, many people were wondering. I mean, there was a bright light. There were bright lights that night. And as the angels were letting the shepherds know that Christ was born. And so certainly the people, their attention, boy, they gave their attention. They wondered about what was going on. But just keep in mind, wondering's not enough. As a teenage boy, I remember hearing the gospel for the first time, and I wondered about that. I remember hearing about Jesus dying on a cross, and I wondered about that. But many times, as I wondered in a service or two, or maybe as I wondered when somebody approached me, I just wondered about it. I just said, wow, that's something. I just said, oh, for God so loved the world. Boy, that's great. And I wondered about it, but that wasn't enough. And you may be here today and you wonder about Christmas and you wonder about Jesus coming and you wonder about God with us and you wonder about Him dying on the cross. But listen to me, it's not enough to wonder. You need to apply it to your life. And of course, in the area of salvation, we need to trust Christ as our Savior and be born again. The people wondered. Really, all around us, people should be wondering about the things of God, not just at Christmas time, but all the time. They should watch our lives. They should see our testimony. They should hear our prayer requests. They should hear the answers to the prayer requests. That should be on our lips constantly. Hey, God did this and God did that. And people should be wondering. But again, remember, it's not enough to just wonder. Number two, then, we went on and we talked about not only how the people wondered, but how the innkeeper squandered. He had an opportunity, but he squandered his opportunity. Verse 7, familiar verse, she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And we talked about how here the innkeeper was so close and yet so far. Now, we don't know whatever happened to the innkeeper. The Bible doesn't say, but certainly he had an opportunity. And how many opportunities have we had? And you know, this time of year, it's always one that we ought to go back. And I've had my calendar out, and I've kind of looked back and looked at different things that have taken place in different events and wondered about, have I squandered opportunities? And it is a great time for you to look ahead and say, I want to take advantage of this next year that God is going to give me. And as long as God keeps giving me days, and as long as God keeps giving me hours, I want to take advantage of those. I want to take advantage of every opportunity that God gives me. And so the people wondered. Number two, the innkeeper squandered. But number three, and our last point for this message is Mary pondered. And again, we didn't get to that last week because we ran out of time. But I want you to really, really think about this third point. Mary pondered. Because that is the difference in her life. And I'm sure many others pondered, but clearly God says in verse 19, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She kept all these things. Everything she saw, she kept that and she pondered that in her heart. I mean, certainly Mary wondered at everything. Remember when Gabriel came and announced that she was going to give birth to the Messiah. She had to stop and think, wow, this is amazing. She knew her Bible. She knew the Scripture. We talked about that last week. She understood who the Messiah was. She understood what was going on. And she had to have wondered about all of that. And then all of these events that take place as the shepherds come. And here she is laying her newborn baby in the manger, literally the birthing place for lambs, and she had to be wondering about how God had put all that together. And wondering was a good thing. But that wasn't the end. And wondering about it is not what caused Mary to keep going. Wondering about it wasn't what gave Mary the strength to stand at the foot of the cross and see Jesus dying on the cross. Wondering about it wasn't what kept her there in the upper room in the book of Acts that we looked at. And she remained and continued on. That's not what did it. It wasn't wondering, it was pondering. And my friend, today you need to understand something. If you are going to do what God wants you to do, and if you're going to be what God wants you to be, you are going to have to go away from just wondering about Christmas and wondering about the Word of God to pondering the things of God. And to turning them over and over in your mind, day in and day out, and meditating on those things. Because that's what Mary did. Mary pondered these things. She didn't stop at wondering. She went on to pondering. And you know, it's interesting in Isaiah 9 and verse 6, and we talked about our first point last week, talking about the people wondered. The Bible says about the Messiah, His name shall be called Wonderful. And we talked about that, how wonderful He is, and the wonder that comes with Jesus. But you know, His second name is Counselor. And I promise you this, if you will take the Scripture and the events and all that goes on in your Christian life with the Lord, and if you will ponder those things, you'll find out He's the Counselor. And you'll find out that His counsel will guide you into the truth far, far deeper than just saying, wow, look at this. He'll guide you into a walk with Him and a life with Him that goes well beyond just wondering about all the things that He's done. I mean, as the counselor, He'll show you what all of it means and what you're supposed to do because of it. Over and over I pray, and before services I ask God not only to teach us, but to guide us into the truth of the Scripture and change us. And I'm telling you, folks, if we don't ponder the things of God, we won't change. And we'll just be the same old, same old. And we will not find ourselves handling the foot of the cross. And we'll not find ourselves continuing on as Mary did. She pondered the things that had taken place. She pondered the Scripture that she knew. She chewed on those things. She mused on those things. She thought about those things. Now, if you sit here today and you wonder at the Christmas story and you say, wow, this is great. Hey, don't just set it aside. Don't just set it aside and then all of a sudden Easter comes along and you pull out another story to wonder about. Don't just set those stories aside. Hey, chew on those things. Meditate on those things. Meditate on the Scripture. Hey, come on. The first time I realized the Old Testament said Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, and then I read how that He ended up being born in Bethlehem, I said, wow! Isn't that something? I mean, that was amazing to me. That was amazing how God put all that together. But then the more I pondered that, and the more I thought of that, I not only realized that's just how God is. God doesn't just tell the future, God makes the future. And I realized if God can do that, what can God do in my life? See, if all you do is just gaze at the things of God and stand in wonderment of them, you're going to miss out on how it applies to your life. Mary pondered. It means, you know, God showed her some things in her life and taught her because of the events, because of the Scripture. God showed her some different things. And see, Satan wants to eliminate the wonder so that you never ponder. He wants to take it away. We talked about that last week. How hey, don't talk about Christ. Just call it a holiday. Just enjoy the holiday. Just think about the fat guy. Just think about all the food you're going to eat. Just think about all the presents you're going to get. Just think about, don't think about anything else. And He's trying to take away the wonder of it all that gets our attention. But let me tell you something. He also, if He can keep you from pondering, He's also stopped you. If all it is put all the stuff back in the box and put it in the attic or in the basement or wherever it goes and get rid of it, now that's it. Christmas is over. We don't think about it anymore. Then He's won there too. He's won there too. In other words, you say, well, I'm going to fight this thing. We're not going to take Christ out of Christmas, but we take Christmas out of our lives except for that one day. Ponder. Ponder. It's just like Craig and Patty just saying, we're going to think about that when we're in heaven. Do you understand? Every day. I was thinking, it's going to be the Lord's Supper every day. It's just going to be, remember, this do in remembrance of me. Remember me, remember me, remember what I did. Hey, ponder all those things. Amen. Ponder. Mary pondered. And if He keeps us from wondering, He'll keep us from pondering, and eventually we will squander every opportunity like we have right now. And I believe with all my heart. Go to Acts 1:14. We read it a little while ago, and we'll go back there in a minute. You say minute? Well, it might be a couple of minutes. It might be several minutes. Acts 1:14. These all continued with one accord. I like that word continued. Amen. They're still going on. Amen. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. And with his brethren. How? How does she continue? I'm going to tell you how. It's because she kept pondering. That's how. She kept pondering. She kept, what's it mean to ponder? It means to weigh, to meditate on. You might say, I chewed on that. It means to muse, to think about. I want to give you five things about pondering that we need to have in our lives and how it will affect us if we'll do it. Hey, don't walk out of church and take what you heard and just leave. Don't take the scripture and you know, sometimes people take notes, but then you file it away and never look at it again. Don't take the lessons that you've learned. Don't take the events of life and just kind of, wow, look at that, and then walk away. Ponder. Five things I want to show you here real quick. First thing, the first word is retain. Retain. Notice what it says about Mary. In verse 19, it says she kept all these things. She kept them. Now, I think about keeping things, and the first thing I think about, especially memories, I think about my mom who took pictures of everything. I wrote, when my mom died, I wrote a poem about making memories. That's what Mom always used to say. All right, everybody, line up. We're making memories. She said that all the time. Dad would grumble and growl. You know, we kids wanted to play with the toys or whatever. Mom said, no, we got to get a picture. First thing, picture, making memories. You know, and you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Because some of you had to do that, right? You guys, you had to clean up and had to look right and smile and all that. Why? Because, you know, hey, we're making memories. Okay, everybody line up, get this picture, you know. And Mom passed it on, not to me, but to my wife. And she does that all the time. I mean, she keeps a record of every event that takes place. And she keeps them with pictures. And we have, I'd hate to think how many pictures we have. For this Christmas, I bought her a digital notebook, I think. A digital photo album, I think it's called. Anyway, and I mean, you can load thousands of pictures in that one album. Now, you have to understand, in my mind, I'm seeing all the albums we have. Not record albums. Photo albums. I mean, we have a whole bunch of them. All right? So in my mind, I'm envisioning everything in this one digital photo album. It'll take thousands of pictures. You can categorize them. I mean, it's really amazing. And I'm excited about that. And then we got her a negative turner into digital thing. I have no idea what it's called. But anyway, you take negatives and remember negatives? You know what I'm talking about? Remember film? It used to be that way. And you put your negatives in there and it turns them into digital, loading them on a doohickeys thing. And you plug that into the flicker jig and then the doohickeys loads and you have all your pictures there. And that's what I'm seeing. I'm excited. You can tell. Because in my mind, I'm seeing scrapbooks gone. Now in her mind, we've already talked about this, she thinks we have to keep hard pictures of everything. I'm going to convince her, I think. But the whole idea, yeah, women are all smiling like, you've lost, man. You are not going to win this battle. All right, well, pray for me, all right? Amen. If I win, fellas, it may be a revolution to your lives too. All right. Bad. All right. But that's what we do. We keep a record of all the things that are going on. We retain them. We keep them. You'll notice Mary, the Bible says Mary kept all these things. What do you mean, all these things? Well, she kept everything. She kept Gabriel's announcement. She thought about that a lot. She kept the shepherds coming, and she thought about that a lot. She kept little baby Jesus being wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, and she kept that, and she pondered on that a lot. In verse 51, later on, as Jesus grows up, different events take place, and I love the way it says, verse 51, he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother, look what it says, kept all these sayings in her heart. I mean, Jesus is talking to her, and so the mother, she's writing it down. Maybe she has a tape recorder. She didn't have one. You don't even know what those are, right? Some do, but many don't. Well, I don't even know how you do it today. But anyway, we won't worry about that. But she records all that stuff. She keeps all that stuff. Why? Because she's going to bring it up again, and she's going to ponder those things. She's going to think about those things. She's going to meditate on those things. She is retaining all that's taking place. Why? So that she can apply it to her life. She kept these things. Now, I think about that. I kind of think about a baby book. How many of you do baby books? All right, several. How many of you are in that? Your life is in a baby book. All right? Wow, they had them back then? No. But, I mean, you know, I've got my old, I think we do somewhere, the old baby book, don't we? Little footprint, the little whatever you do, and first time dada, first time this and that, and all those things. And in my mind, I see Mary, and she wants to keep a record of everything that has taken place. She's retaining all the events of Jesus. She's keeping all those things, and she's keeping them so that at any time she can ponder, she can think about, she can consider, she can remember, she can ponder and weigh those events. Let me show you something here. Luke 9 and verse 43. Luke 9, 43. Jesus tells his disciples to do this very thing. Luke 9 and verse 43. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, everyone, at all things which Jesus did. Now notice, they wondered at all the things. But look what he said. He said unto his disciples, let these sayings sink down into your ears. Boy, that's good. For the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. In other words, there's going to be a day you're going to need these things. Now, retain them. Let them sink down into your ears. Keep them. Retain them. Keep them because you are going to need them. Keep them to ponder because someday you're going to need to ponder these things. Retain them. What do we retain? We retain events. Gabriel, she would retain and remember how that the angel of the Lord came to her. She would retain Joseph's love and how he was good to her, and how, of course, God loved her. She would retain that. She would retain the angels that night when Messiah was born and the shepherds coming, and later on the wise men. She would retain all these things. And when Jesus spoke, she would retain what he would say. She retained the events of life. We need to retain examples. You know, God shows not only good examples in the Bible, but he also shows bad examples in the Bible. And we need to retain those kinds of things in our lives. Why? So we can ponder them and use them in our lives. We need to retain expectations, our goals, our plans, God's will, decisions that we made. And I'll talk about that later. We need to retain the fourth thing. And I think the main thing, we need to retain God's eternal word. We need to chew on God's word. We need to retain what God says. You know, Mary had. Mary knew the Word of God. Proof of that is in Luke 1 and verse 50, right after it's been announced that she was going to have the Messiah. His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. She's quoting parts of Scripture. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He hath hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to his fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. She knows her Bible. Well, how does she know it so well? She retained it, that's how. You know, 2010 would be a great time for you to start memorizing the Word of God. Okay, three of you will. I mean, what a great opportunity we have to retain. You say, well, you know, I don't find it. I try to think about the things of God, but I struggle with that because there's so many other things. And whatever you put in, you know, that's what you're going to think about. Those are, I mean, honestly, if we don't retain the eternal Word of God, it was easy for Mary to ponder on the things of God. It was very easy because she had those things. She knew those things. She had retained those things. The Bible says this, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against God. I hide God's word here in my heart, and it affects the way I live. And we'll get to that in a minute. Retain the word of God. Colossians 3:16. Colossians 3, verse 16. Again, the question, what are you going to do with Christmas? Oh, you know, the rest of the world, they pretty much eliminate. But that's not the question. What are you going to do? What are you going to do about it? Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. What do I do with the word? Let it dwell in me richly with all in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And again, that is a life that is a direct result of having the Word of Christ in you. Let God's Word dwell in your heart. Proverbs 4:4 and verse 4. Bible says, He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Let thine heart retain my words. Hey, if there's anything we need to memorize, it's the Word of God. If there's anything we need to have in our hearts, it's the Word of God. Yes, we need the events of Christmas, and certainly that is all in the Scripture. Yes, we need to think about all the examples the Bible gives, good and bad, and all of those things. But of all things that I believe kept Mary going, of all things that I believe put her where she was on the day of Pentecost, of all things, it's because she retained the precious, eternal Word of God. And she put that in the scrapbook of memory so she could ponder those things. What do you think about when a trial comes? What are you drawn to when trouble comes? You know, it should be the Word of God. It should be something that you've pondered about. It should be something that God has given you to help you. I know last night, before I went to sleep, I wanted to ponder on something as I went to sleep. And I turned to a passage of Scripture and read through that. And it was such a blessing to me. You know, what do you go to when you're in trouble? What do you go to when you have problems? What do you go to when you're rejoicing and you just want to praise the Lord? I'll tell you, you retain what you wondered about, and then you need to review it. You need to review it over and over. Look at Acts 17:11. And that's my second point. You review it. First of all, you retain it. Second of all, review it. Acts 17:11. And many recognize Acts 17 as the passage about the Berean Christians. Acts 17:11 talks about the Berean Christians. Says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they, first of all, what they do? They received the word with all readiness of mind. Now, what's that? That's retaining the Word of God. That's taking the Word of God in. It's receiving it. I'm not going to listen today. I don't care what the preacher says. I don't care what the Bible's. You know, I'm just, you know, hey, they receive the Word with all readiness of mind. And look what it says next. And search the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. That's review. That's the essence of pondering. All right, that's the essence of, I mean, going over it and 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 over it. Review is to meditate on, to muse about, to think about that which you have retained, to chew on it. Okay, and by the way, if all you retain throughout the week or all you retain in life is wickedness, that's all you have to ponder. It's all you have to meditate on. I mean, if everything that you have is television, you're probably in trouble. If all that you have is from the news, you are in trouble. You'll be discouraged real fast. I mean, if all we have, if we retain the wrong things, or if we retain only things that really won't help us. I mean, you may know the stats of the Detroit Lions. I know one stat. Anyway, you may know all the stats of all the players. And okay, but how's that going to help you when things are tough? How's that going to help you when you're tempted to sin? It isn't going to help you at all. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin. See, we review what we've retained. And you can only ponder on the things that you have retained. That's why folks' thought lives are so bad. That's why people come and they say, "Pastor, I'm having trouble with my thoughts." Okay, because garbage in, garbage out. And if you put garbage in, you're going to have to deal with it. It's just there. You know, it's like a computer. Whatever you load in there, it's there. Somebody said it leaves a print that's always going to be there. And our minds are greater than any computer. You can only ponder on what's retained. The psalmist said, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Now what if we just really thought about God's Word day in and day out? What if day in and day out we thought about the Christmas story? What if day in and day out we thought about the resurrection? What if day in and day out we thought about how Jesus died on the cross for us? What if we thought about all the blessings of God? What if we thought about how God provided when we had need? What if we thought about the security we have in Christ Jesus? What if we dwell on those things? Psalmist said, "I love it. That's my meditation. My meditation all the day." Look at Joshua 1:8. A couple of verses about this. Joshua 1 and verse 8. And these are familiar verses. I'd encourage you to write them down because I want people to ponder the Word of God and ponder the things of God and ponder. You know, we have our men's prayer meeting on Sundays, and I constantly think about the testimonies of some of the men and things we've prayed for, things we've begged God for, and then God answered the prayer, and to hear the testimony. And throughout the week, I'll go through that and I'll think, "Wow, that's so good. God's so good." Joshua 1 and verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Pondering, putting the Word of God in our minds. Psalm 19 and verse 14. Psalms 19. And verse 14. The Bible says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Meditation. What do you meditate on? What are the things you think about day in and day out? Psalm 1. And again, a familiar verse, but one that we definitely need. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Clearly, the Bible indicates that we need to be thinking on the things of God and thinking on God's Word. Psalm 63 and verse 6. Psalm 63 and verse 6. Couple more verses, and you need to write them down. 63:6, "When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches." What do you think of? You say, "Oh, I'm always having nightmares." All right, well, what do you do after the nightmare? Do you think about God? Or you dwell on wicked things? You know, "Well, I just have dreams and they're weird." Well, but why do we wake up? What is it we should think about? What is it we should meditate on in the middle of the night? Why did God wake us up? Psalm 143 and verse 5. And again, if we don't know the Word, it would be very difficult to ponder and chew on the Word of God. Psalm 143 and verse 5. "I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands." Do you ever do that? But see, if you didn't retain those things, if you've not retained them in your life, you don't even think about that. What about all his works? Yeah. Again, we're talking mainly about Christmas here, but what about all his other works? Do you ever? Why did he have to tell us? What a sad thing it is he had to tell us to remember him. "This do in remembrance of me." He had to tell us to remember him. Why? Because we're prone to forget. But if I retain it and I review it over and over and over again. Imagine Mary here pondering the Word of God in light of everything that had happened. Imagine as she ponders, and thinks about over and over and chews on all the events that took place. And as Jesus gets older, obviously she also gets older, and she ponders on all those things and keeps turning them over in her mind. First of all, retain those things from God. Second of all, review, ponder, chew on, meditate over and over. Third thing, redo. What's that mean? That means, you know, what does pondering lead to? Go back to Joshua 1 and verse 8. Joshua 1 verse 8. It was right in the middle of the verse. Joshua 1:8 says, "But thou shalt meditate therein day and night." Notice what it says, "that thou mayest observe to do." That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Retain, review, redo. Your life needs changed. Pondering the things of God is how we change our lives. It's how He changes our lives. Pondering always is going to lead, okay, what do I do? Okay, you're not only wonderful, but you're the counselor. Now what do I do? What do I do with my life? If you would ponder the things of God, you know, the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I mean, obviously, our thoughts are what we are. What do you find yourself thinking about all the time? You know, what are you thinking about all the time? What do you ponder on? 1 Timothy 4, verse 15. 1 Timothy 4, 15. Here the Bible says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Listen, folks, what we dwell on is what we do. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What we dwell on, that's what we do. Hey, what do you find? What do you think about? And when you think something, you are just one step from doing it. We always say that in the negative sense, which it's true in the negative sense, but hey, wait a minute. It's also true in the positive sense. If you would ponder the commands of God, if we would ponder the things of God and obeying God, then we are just one step from actually carrying it out. Before I ever went soul winning, I pondered the truth of soul winning. Before I ever tithed, I chewed on the idea of tithing. And I weighed what the Scripture said because I had a preacher that preached about it. And as I thought about tithing, I was just one step from actually tithing. Praise God. You know, as we ponder these things, as we take the Word of God that we've retained and the things of God that we really have retained, and we've put them away in our scrapbook, you know, and then we get them out and we ponder those things and we deal with those things. Literally, what you dwell on, you do. Look at Psalm 77, verse 12. Psalm 77, verse 12. Another thing is certainly true about this. 77, 12, Psalms. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. I said, what we dwell on, we do, but guess what? What we dwell on, we talk about too. What we dwell on, that's what we talk about. Get around a group of guys, they're talking about cars, you know, and oh yeah, you know, this car and that car and all that. And those are the things that they dwell on. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying, do you ever talk about Jesus? We sing the song, let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings is He. And you know, we all sing that, but who does it? But if you dwell on it, I know, I hate to, I don't want to embarrass Will. I don't mind embarrassing Will. But many early mornings, he'll leave me a message, you know. And I don't know what time, I just know when I come in and there's a message on my answering machine here at the church. And it's something that is going on in his life. Preacher, I just had to tell you, God did this. God's so good. God, and I'm guessing some of those messages were 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And I'm thinking, you know, that's what he's been dwelling on. And he just couldn't wait to talk about it. You know, if you dwell on the things of God. Seriously, some of the guys, we'll come on Sunday night, and we always have a time of testimonies. And some you can tell, you know, guys, they're just so anxious to tell. Why? Because it's what they dwell on. You know, folks that talk about gossip and stuff like that, that's what you dwell on. You come to church and look at people like, I wonder what they've been up to. You know, I wonder what they're doing. I heard this, and then you can't get it out of your mind. Hey, you know what? Try retaining truth from the Word of God instead of garbage. Try retaining God's Word, and then review it over and over, and literally, it will affect what you do. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Whatever you're dwelling on in your heart, that's what you're going to say. Real quick, Philippians 4. Verse 8, you say, real quick, does that mean you're about done? I don't have another big point. How's that sound?
Amen.
All right, I knew you'd appreciate it. Philippians 4, verse 8. But I do have these little sub-points. Philippians 4, verse 8, and this is familiar territory here. I don't know how many folks that I have encouraged with Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. You say, well, but I just read the paper. All right, you're going to have to forget what you just read, and now you're going to have to go to these things. Amen. Honestly. Well, you know, I just watched the news and some guy tried to blow up a plane over Detroit. Yeah, okay, well, you're just going to have, we're flying next week. God bless you. Listen, you're going to have to forget that and you're going to have to go to good things and honest things and true things and just things. Think on these things. Verse 9, those things which ye have both learned, there's Christmas. I learned the Christmas story. I learned the truth about what really happened. Those things you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, he says, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Huh? Those things you've learned, received, heard, and seen in me, do. I'm telling you, what you dwell on, it changes what you do. It'll change what you do. It'll change how you act. Let these things change your life. Don't ever, you know, you come to church, wow, that verse is great! And then you just kind of forget it. Huh? Put little marks beside it, little doodads, little underlines, little circles. Go back to it, go back to it, go back to it, go back to it. Don't just get caught up in the wonder of it. Hey, ponder it. Go back on Monday and open it up and go to that verse and say, wow, it's still good. You know what? It's even better. Because it just keeps getting better. The more you ponder, the more you chew on it, the more you get the truth of it. Hey, don't you say, well, I'm saved, preacher. I mean, I'm born again. Okay, but chew on you being born again. Go back to your day that you got born again. Go back to the day that you received Christ. Go back to how it was when you realized your sins were gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Go back to it. Get excited about it again instead of, I'm saved. You know, it's sad we lose the wonder of it because we don't ponder it over and over again. It ought to be as exciting today. It ought to be more exciting today the older you get. Retain, review, redo. Number 4, remind. Remind. We looked at this a couple of weeks ago. Mary by the cross. I can't even imagine. Cannot even imagine Mary looking at Jesus after the cat of nine tails, 39 lashes, his skin literally peeled from his body. The blood was everywhere. I just can't even imagine, but there she was. The Bible says she stood by the cross. She saw him. What's she going to do? Well, that's my word, remind. Because what you ponder on, it'll remind you when you need it. You can, I guarantee, she would look back at the events. Because honestly, as she stands and there's Jesus hanging on the cross, you know Satan is bombarding her with doubts and fears and all these things. And you know that his attack is there. Say, how do you know, preacher? Because he's done it to you. And he's done it to me. But she just needs to be reminded. You know what she's reminded? She's not reminded of the Detroit Lions record. She's not reminded of the Detroit Tigers baseball stats. She's not reminded of the Red Wings. And none of those things are, I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying if that's all you got, when you stand by the cross and Jesus is hanging there, you're not going to make it. You're going to fall apart. But Mary had something to look back at, something to remind her. She goes back to the scrapbook of all the things she retained. And she goes back to all the things she's reviewed. And in her heart and in her mind, she says, you know, it's settled. I settled it a long time ago. I settled it after Gabriel announced it and I sang that God was my Savior. It's settled. And I think it reminded her of why she does what she does. Why am I serving God? Why do I love Him? Why? Because she had pondered that over and over and over and over. Why do so many people drop out of church? Why do so many people quit serving God? Why do so many people, used to be here and they're not here? They're nowhere. They're sitting at home today or laying in bed somewhere. Because they've never retained the things of God. They've not reviewed those things. They've not had their life changed by it. And so they have nothing to remind them that God is God. Do you ever have to be reminded God is on the throne? I mean, honestly, you listen to the news enough and there's so much weird stuff going on. I'm telling you, it is amazing. More and more people are talking about a one world government. More and more people. You know, and you hear enough of that stuff. Do you ever have to be reminded we win? We win. You say, it sure doesn't look like it. Yeah, but it doesn't have to look like it. We win. How do you know, preacher? Because a long time ago, I got in this book and I started reading it and I've read it from cover to cover many, many times. And I got to the end of it and we win. We do win. What a reminder. Retain, review, redo, remind. And the last thing, and it's so important, that's remain. What's going to help you remain? Pondering. And we go back to Acts chapter 1, verse 14, and it's a precious verse here in the Scripture. After everything. And you know, we know, there's no question, temptations, attacks of Satan, there's no question about any of that. But there's Mary. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And she's about to see another wonderful, wonderful thing that God's going to do. And you know what she'll do? She'll retain that thing. And she'll ponder that thing. And she'll live that kind of life until she dies. How many people fall away from the things of God? Well, they didn't retain. They didn't retain. They didn't put it in a scrapbook. They didn't keep what God gave them. Whether it's a Christmas story, Easter story, whether it's Scripture, whether it's a church service, whether it's a message. Wow! What a great message! Yeah, what are you going to do with it? What has it done for you? I really wondered at it. Yeah, now ponder it. And let it change your life. Let the truth of the Scripture change your life. Because, again, somewhere along the way, we're all pondering something. But what is it that is going to keep us where we know we're supposed to be? It's going to be pondering the things of God. It's going to be retaining those things of God and reviewing them over and over and going over them day in and day out. It's God giving us that, getting our attention with the wonder of it all. And then we ponder the thing that God's shown us, and we chew on it. We don't just let it, let the birds of the air carry the seed away. We let God do something in our hearts, and it changes us. And it reminds us at times when things are tough and when the devil attacks, it reminds us that God is on the throne. And so we remain and we end up accomplishing the goals that we know that God wanted us to do. The wonder leads to pondering. Don't squander it, because if you do, you'll wander away. You'll never be what God wanted you to be. And that's why so many folks are miserable today. I'm telling you. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The people wondered, the innkeeper squandered, Mary pondered. What will you do with Christmas? What the story? What do you do with the Scripture? What do you do with the message today? What are you going to do with that which God has shown you over and over again? What are you going to do with it? That's what matters more than what the rest of the world does with it. What will you do with it? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many would say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved. There's no doubt about it. If I died right now, I know for sure that I'd go to heaven." Would you raise your hand if you know that? That's your testimony. You know you're saved. God bless you. You can put your hands down. I'm not going to embarrass you. I will not point anyone out. But I wonder if there's someone here today who'd say, "Preacher, I do not know whether I'm saved or not. If I died right now, I really don't know if I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me." Would you raise your hand? You're not sure you're saved. Anyone like that? Pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. How many Christians would say, "Preacher, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, but God has spoken to my heart about something today. Please pray for me." Would you raise your hand? Christian, God's spoken to your heart. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts. Help us, God, to not only wonder at the things that you've done, and they are certainly wondrous things, but God, I pray that we would ponder on those things and on the words that you've given us, that our lives might be changed, that we might continue when the going gets tough, that we might be doing what you want us to do years and years from now. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. 318, 318. Give me thy heart. If God's speaking to your heart today and you have a decision to make, as we sing on the first verse, if you need to come, you come.
Give me thy heart, says the Father above. No gift so precious to Him as our love. Softly He whispers wherever thou art. Gratefully trust me and give me thy heart. Give me thy heart. Give me thy heart. Hear the soft whisper wherever thou art. From this dark world He would draw thee apart, speaking so tenderly, give me thy heart.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The instruments continue to play. If you have a decision to make, you come. Kneel at an old-fashioned altar. Don't let the wonder be the end. Ponder. Chew on it. Meditate. Think about it. Something you need to pray about, you come. One more verse. If anyone needs to come, you can come on this verse. Amen. Don't forget to pray for the Burroughs family. And then, of course, our afternoon, 5 o'clock, we have our choir, our first through third grade children's choir, I believe, will be practicing. And teens will meet. And I believe Brother Kendall is preaching. Is that right? Or is Ben? Or is, who is it? Curry is. I knew I'd get it wrong. But anyway, so that'll be good. And then we have our men's prayer time, ladies' prayer time. No ensemble practice, so keep that in mind. But then church tonight at 6 o'clock, and praise the Lord for that. Brother Don, would you close in prayer?
Father, indeed, we are grateful for the gift that you've given us and your Son, the wonder of all of this wrapped in the celebration of his birth. And Father, indeed, may we retain those things, to remember them, to review them, to redo and recommit our lives to you, and to review those with others as a word of testimony about the wonder of it all. Guide us and direct us, Lord. Bring us safely again together this evening, we pray in Jesus' name.